736. Mark, welcome to you. Mark, great to have you on. Thanks for your time.
Hey, Dwayne, no problem. I like your idea of the buggy. That's probably the, you know, that's as close to common sense as we've got in these last couple of days.
Yeah, so you can wheel your buggy around the block and you can occasionally maybe stop just for a minute to look in the bushes for a ball that isn't there. How about that?
It's really crazy that that's the best logic I've heard in a couple of days. So yeah, that probably sums it all up, really.
So different states have got different guidelines, and different courses in different states have got different guidelines. I mentioned the Cooyonga quote. It's incompatible with the intent of the PM's instructions. So I presume in Victoria, those that run golf in Victoria are just trying to do what's right as opposed to, you know, putting their toe up to the line and putting a toenail over it.
Yeah, look, whatever I say here is going to offend people. If I said something that was, you know, anti the communal spirit of what we're all trying to achieve right now, then I'll get growled at. And if I say something that's anti golf, I'll get growled out there. And people will rightly say that Golf Australia has a position to, you know, advocate for golfers. But I think in the position we've adopted is purely based on all the government advice and also in the community's best interest, which golf is clearly a part of. So as it stands, we put out a piece of advice earlier this week as Golf Australia to recommend that all clubs close. And that was based on Scott Morrison's advice on Sunday night. And as your previous caller, who was a member at Peninsula Kingswood, suggested, it's based on the fact that we are a non-essential activity, and no one can argue with that. What the argument is raging about all over the place in the golfing community is it exercise? Does it justify as exercise? And of course it's an exercise, and it's mentally important and physically important, but we've adopted the position that it's the right thing to do for the community, and we continue to promote only the advice the governments provide us. So we've done sticking with that, and as it stands, Victoria is the only state and territory where the state government hasn't relented. So everyone else has backed down from the advice that Scott Morrison and Golf Australia gave the other day. Victoria hasn't. So as we speak, Victorian clubs are meant to be closed. Most of the other ones around Australia are free to make their own choice according to the government rules in their jurisdiction.
So is it the person that runs that golf course, the person in charge of that golf course, that makes the choice just for that golf course? Is there an overseer of golf in each state that says, no, we're shutting tomorrow, or no, we're going to continue to allow two people per hole only, and no marking of cards, no scoring? I think there's one of the rules in SA, and also no bunker rakes and sandbags. Who makes that call? Is it each individual course?
We've made all the guidelines that people have adopted beautifully in the last two or three weeks. It's now down to state governments and territory governments to enforce the rules. Our policy remains that we believe that clubs should be closed, but we haven't got the capacity to force any club to do anything. So outside Victoria, all clubs have got the right to choose as it stands currently. Within Victoria, it's a state government ruling, so that clubs must remain closed at the moment. And, you know, we fully support all the government's messages. We're not in a position to legislate or dictate what happens to club land. But right now in Victoria, the decision, to your question, is not in clubs' hands, it's in government hands. So in Victoria, clubs should be currently closed, and outside Victoria and all other jurisdictions, because of changes from the state departments in the last 24 to 36 hours, most clubs have got the choice again to open or not, but as long as they adhere to the restrictions that we advised a couple of weeks ago, which is what you mentioned.
So have you had a few that run golf courses in Victoria calling you being upset or trying to lobby?
Massively. We had people 2 weeks ago criticising us for not taking a moral stance and doing what was right by the health of the community. And now the tide's turned, and we've actually got people criticising us for not advocating strongly enough for golf, which is, that's just strictly not true. So, yeah, we have a lot of people who are upset. And one of the things that Scott Morrison was talking about on Sunday, and Dan Andrews has continued to maintain that, is exercise is one of those pillars. And people are saying that we've acted on by not sort of pushing harder to open clubs, that we're saying that golf is an exercise, which is clearly not true. It clearly is one of the best forms of exercise you can do. But as a position, a formal position we are sticking to the government's notification for each state. And our position, I guess generically, is to make sure that clubs do the right thing and remain closed if they're making a choice.
And have people from other states called you and sort of been irate saying, who do those Victorians think they are?
Yeah, we're getting abuse left, right and centre, Dwayne. Right. I can't. We intermittently cop abuse for different things, and that's just the loss of a governing body. But, you know, just like the AFL, Golf Australia is in a position where, you know, staff are going to be laid off and all that sort of stuff. So it's not in our interest to not have golf play, clearly. But I think, you know, we're just acting in the best two things. One, in the best interest of what we think is right for the community. And secondly, in accordance with government advice.
Now, a 20-year-old can sit at home for 3 or 4 months and, you know, walk out in 3 or 4 months' time and say, OK, well, I'm ready to do what I want again and I'm physically fit. The over-65s are an interesting group in that they're the last people you want to be sedentary, to be doing nothing, and yet they're the kind of the last group that we want out being, you know, involved with the meeting of walking past other people in the community as well.
Yeah, and golf...
And that's your group.
Yeah, golf's right in the thick of that, and it's a conundrum for the community, for mental and physical health and well-being of, you know, so many people in the community. But as most know, the membership of golf clubs is skewed to a you know, an older age bracket that it puts a heightened sensitivity on what it is that we do, and it also puts a real strain on clubs who, when they have people making decisions on memberships. You know, they're taking all these factors into consideration, and the membership is the lifeblood of pretty much the club around Australia. So it's a real catch-22, and it's something that's got to be carefully nurtured and waded through.
Because some golf clubs might not survive if they don't have golf for 5, 6, 7 months or even any more than that.
Yeah, there was a fascinating story that we ran yesterday, Dwayne, where the chief executive of the Australian Sports Turf Managers Association, which takes into consideration all the greenskeepers and superintendents of the golf courses, warned that if the, you know, if their staff were to be gobbled up by the next level of restrictions, if they were to come in, that would be level 4, then very quickly, like within a week to 2 weeks, there'd be $5 billion worth of damage done to not only golf clubs, but all sporting fields around Australia based on turf maintenance. The need to get them back up to speed before we could play cricket or footy or whatever it is that involved turf. And that's a massive figure. And I think in a lot of respects, we need to be really mindful of great work that they do, that $1 million or so worth of prevention would be far better than $5 billion worth of cure down the track. And these are the decisions to balance and counterbalance.
And one last one. I know that Scott Morrison warned us against it, and I believe that he's 100% right in what he's saying in this, and that is not compare us in our circumstance to overseas countries, but as a whole overseas, how are you seeing the rest of the world handle this same situation?
Well, I mean, the United States is the United States. I mean, they're not dissimilar to us in that they allow a lot of states to make their own rules. And in a golf sense, some states remain open over there and some states are closed, which is not dissimilar to us right now. I think that, you know, from a professional golf sense, pretty much all tours have starting to back expectations of what's going to happen later in the year. That's women's, men's, European, the PGA Tour, LPGA, everything. That's the position of professional golf. But as it stands, some courses, there are very few courses open around the world. But maintenance staff, as I suggested, their maintenance staff in Britain, for example, golf is clearly off the books at the moment, do remain on board because of the potential damage to future assets. So, look, it's a case-by-case basis, but we're trying to do, obviously, what's best for golf in this community, in this country.
So do you see ever, or in a couple of months' time, when there is some sort of light at the end of the tunnel, that golf attacks it a bit like racing is at the moment, and you find a course, because racing is going on various courses around the world, you find a course that can have the fans locked out and you get a group of golfers who keep their distance and play a tournament for TV, as they are doing with racing for TV. Or is racing such a TV sport and a gambling-driven sport that it's completely different and golf won't do that?
It's a good question. My gut feeling says that racing's operating under a different set of guidelines to pretty much every other sport based on the betting revenue and in Australia's purpose, the sheer size of that industry. I don't think you can compare that to too many different sports, but the wagering lobby, if there's such a thing, would be strong, I reckon, to get racing up and going, perhaps with a more financially based argument than other sports. I can foresee golf being played in front of no audience and having just a television crew, but then you've still got to weigh up what's required to get those courses in position. Also, the infrastructure behind the media to bring it to the world. So, you know, again, they're tough questions to answer right now, Dwayne.
Mark, great to have you on. I really appreciate you joining me. It's been fantastic for me to pick your brain so people out there that are having the same dilemma, the same thought process, get an understanding of what the guidelines are and what you're allowing and the philosophy of Golf Australia. Thanks a lot, Mark. And if you do go for a walk around the block with your cart, and you do want to look in a bush where there's no ball, but you want to look there for a minute, just if you are on the footpath with your cart and you see a rock in the middle of it, just kick it out into the middle and make out no one saw you, okay?
Correct. And don't move any curbing or anything like that. You might go against the rules of golf.
Thanks for your time. Mark Hayes from Golf Australia, their media manager.